Chapter 11. Fate. Chaos reigned in the primary apothecarium. On the Covenant of Blood, the Legion's Medicae Sanctum had been more a morgue than a surgery, becoming a place of stillness and silence. A chamber of cold storage vaults, old bloodstains on the iron tables, and memories hanging in the sterile air. The opposite was true on the Echo of Damnation. Varyl walked from table to table through a sea of wounded humanity, his unhelmed face betraying no emotion. Human crew and legionaries alike cried out, reaching for him, filling the air with the reek of sweat, the heat of escaping life, and the stink of chemical-rich blood. Hundreds of tables lined the chamber in rows, almost all of them occupied. Monotasked lifter servitors hauled corpses from the slabs, dragging living wounded onto the tables in replacement. Drains in the floor suckled at the blood sloshing across the dirty tiles. Medicaid servitors and crew members trained in surgery were sweating as they worked. Varyl strode through it all, a gore-streaked conductor overseeing a wailing orchestra. He paused by one gurney, glancing down at the tangled crewman's body laying there.
"You," he said to a nearby Medicaid servitor, "this one is dead. Remove his eyes and teeth for later use before incinerating the remains."
"Compliance," murmured the blood-stained slave. A hand gripped his vambrace.
"Varyl."
The Night Lord on the next table swallowed blood before he spoke. His clutch tightened.
"Varyl, graft the new legs onto the stumps, and let's be done with it. Do not keep me here. When we have a world to conquer..."
"You need rather more than new legs," Varyl told him. "Now remove your hand."
The warrior gripped tighter.
"I have to be on Saguelsa. Don't keep me here."
The apothecary looked down at the wounded legionary. The warrior's face was half lost in a wash of blood and burnt tissue. Bearing the skull beneath, one of his arms ended at the bicep, and both legs were fleshy stalks leaking fluid from the ravaged ceramite where his knees had once been. The Genesis chapter had almost killed this one, no doubt about it.
"Remove your hand," Varyl said again. "We have discussed this, Morilash. I do not like to be touched."
The grip only grew tighter.
"Listen to me!"
Varyl clenched the warrior's hand with his own, prying the fingers back and holding tight. Without a word, he deployed the laser cutters and bone saw from his Narthesium gauntlet. The saw bit down. The warrior cried out.
"What did you just learn?" Varyl asked.
"You wretched bastard!"
Varyl tossed the severed hand to another servitor.
"Incinerate this. Ready a bionic left hand with the rest of his planned augmentations. Compliance."
In the corner of the apothecarium, where they leaned against the wall watching the organized chaos, Sirion chuckled and voxed to Mercutian.
"You are right,"
he said.
"Varyl really is one of us."
"I would have cut out Morilesh's heart," Mercutian replied. "I've always loathed him."
The two warriors lapsed into silence for a time.
"Teltrian reported they're back to working on reawakening Malkarion."
Mercutian's reply was to sigh. Through the vox, it was a breathy crackle.
"What?"
Sirion asked.
"He will not thank us for reawakening him a second time. I would give much to know why Malik of the Etramentar spared the war sage's existence."
"I would give much to know where in the infinite hells the Etramentar are. Do you believe they went down with the Covenant?"
Mercutian shook his head.
"Not for a moment."
"Nor I,"
Sirion agreed.
"They didn't evacuate with the mortals, nor in a Legion gunship. They never reached the Echo of Damnation, which leaves only one choice. They boarded an enemy vessel. They teleported onto a Corsair ship."
"Perhaps,"
Mercutian allowed. His tone walked the border between thoughtful and doubting.
"They would never be able to take a Corsair ship alone. Are you truly this naive?
Sirion grinned behind a faceplate that wept painted lightning.
Look how the Blood Reaver treats his Terminator elite. They're his chosen. I'm not suggesting the Atramentar mounted an assault on the Corsairs, fool. They betrayed us to them. They joined them.
Mercutian snorted.
Never! No, how many warriors have cast aside the bonds of the First Legions? How many find them irrelevant as the years become decades and the decades twist into centuries? How many are legionaries only in name, after finding a more satisfying, more purposeful path, instead of eternally whining over a final vengeance never taken? Every one of us has his own path to walk. Power is a greater temptation for some than ancient, lofty ideals. Some things matter more than old bonds.
Not to me,
Mercutian said at last.
Not to most of us. I am merely saying...
I know what you are saying. I am saying I have no wish to speak of this.
Very well. But there is a tale behind the Atramentar's disappearance, brother. One we may never know.
Someone knows.
That they do. And I would enjoy excruciating the truth from them.
Mercutian didn't reply, and Sirion allowed the discussion to wane into an awkward lull. Uzas, standing a few meters away from them, was looking down at his red-painted gauntlets.
What's wrong with you now? Sirion asked.
My hands are red, said Uzas. Sinners have red hands. The Primarch's law.
Uzas lifted his head, turning his bruised and bloody face to Sirion.
What did I do wrong? Why are my hands painted in sinner's scarlet?
Mercutian and Sirion shared a glance. Another moment of rare clarity from their degenerating brother caught them by surprise.
You killed many of the Covenant's crew, brother, Mercutian told him. Months ago, one of them was the father of the void-born girl.
That wasn't me!
Uzas had bitten his tongue, and blood flowed over his lips, slowly raining down his white chin.
I didn't kill him!
As you say, brother, Mercutian replied.
Where is Telos? Does Telos know I did not do this?
Peace, Uzas.
Sirion rested a hand on the other warrior's shoulder guard.
Peace. Do not let yourself grow aggravated.
Where's Telos?
Uzas asked again, slurring now.
He will be here soon, said Mercutian. The Flayer has summoned him.
Uzas half-lidded his black eyes, drooling saliva and blood in equal measure.
Who? Telos, you just asked where he was.
Uzas stood slack-jawed. Blood bubbled at the corner of his thin lips. Even without legion modification, even had he been left alone as a human boy, and never swollen into this broken, avataric living weapon stitched back together after hundreds of battlefields, Uzas would have been a singularly unwholesome and unattractive creature. Everything in the years since only made him fouler to look upon.
Uzas?
Mercutian pressed.
Nothing, brother.
He shared another glance with Sirion.
It is nothing.
The three warriors remained silent as the minutes passed on. Again and again the northern doors opened on grinding tracks. More packs of crew members were arriving each minute, dragging and carrying their wounded.
It is surprising to see so many mortals flocking here,
Mercutian mused. With Medicaid stations on many decks, the crew knew that the primary apothecarian was the Flayer's haunt, and few would willingly put themselves beneath his cold gaze and the pressing cuts of his blades.
They know their own expendability,
Sirion nodded.
Only desperation drives them here.
Talos entered with the latest batch. The prophet ignored the humans around his boots, crossing straight to Vario. Septimus and Octavia trailed him in. The former immediately moved to one of the tables, working to assist the Medicaid attendant there.
Septimus, the surgeon grunted in greeting, start stitching the stomach wound.
Octavia watched him working, knowing better than to try and offer her help. The mortal crew flinched back from her at all times, no matter her intentions. The curse of the third eye, even when it was hidden beneath her grimy bandana. They all knew what she was, what she did for their lords and masters. None of them wanted to look her way, let alone touch her. So she followed Talos, hanging back what she judged a respectful distance. Talos walked to Varial, the damage to his armor showing starkly in the apothecarian's harsher light.
Where is Zal's corpse? The apothecary asked.
Talos handed him the sealed cryo canister.
That is all you need, he said.
Varial took it, his fingers subtly twitching. He disliked others doing inexpert work when he could have performed it to perfection.
Very well.
Is that all?
Talos looked over to Sirion, Uzes, and Mercutian, ready to join them.
No, we are long overdue a discussion, Prophet.
We have a world to bring to its knees, Talos reminded him.
Varial's eyes, ice blue to the Nostraman's inky black, still flitted around the chamber, drinking in the details. It was the one way Talos thought Varial still differed from the Nostraman-born Nightlords. Whether by genetic legacy or simple habit, a great many Eighth Legion warriors would stare in autistic silence, gazing at those they were speaking to. Varial's attention was altogether more fractured.
We also have half of our warriors dead or dying, the apothecary pointed out, along with hundreds of mortal crew. There is gene seed to harvest and augmetic grafting to perform.
Talos fingered his temples. Then do what needs to be done. I will take the others down to the surface.
Varial said nothing for a moment, absorbing the words.
Why?
He said at last. Around him, men and women were still weeping, moaning, screaming. It put Talos in mind of the Primarch's screaming gallery, with all the shivering hands reaching out from the walls in fruitful torment. He felt like smiling, really smiling, without knowing why.
Why what? Asked Talos.
Why attack Saguelsa? Why attack it in the first place? Why rush down there to finish the deed now? You have been less than forthcoming with answers on the matter.
The blue veins beneath Talos's cheeks twisted like lightning, following the contours of his scowl.
To let the hounds slip the leash and torture as they desire. To let the Eighth Legion be itself. And above all, for the symbolism, this was our world. And we left it barren of life. It should remain that way.
Varial breathed slowly, his eyes settling on Talos for a long, rare moment.
The populace of Saguelsa, such as it is, are now cowering in their storm shelters, fearful of the nameless wrath that attacked their capital city. They know it will return, and yes, I suspect you are correct. Once the Legion slips its leash and toys with the lives of those souls on the surface, every warrior will be energized by the infliction of fear and the wanton slaughter to inevitably follow. But that is not a good enough answer. You are dreaming without recalling what you see. You are acting on visions you scarcely remember and barely understand.
Talos remembered the first moment of awakening once more, finding himself chained in the command throne, with the oculus showing Saguelsa's grey face from the silent safety of orbit.
Where are we? He'd said.
First Claw had walked to his side, forming up in a line of snarling joints and impassive, skullish face masks.
You don't recall your orders to us? Zal had asked.
Just tell me where we are, he'd demanded. The Eastern Fringe. Zal had answered. Out of the Astronomicon's light, and in orbit around the world you repeatedly demanded we travel to.
Varial broke through the prophet's reverie with a murmur of displeasure.
You have not been the same since we took the Echo of Damnation. Are you aware of this?
They could have been alone, discussing such things in the stillness of a meditation chamber, rather than the abattoir of the primary apothecarian.
I do not know, Talos confessed. My memory is a jagged thing of plateaus and shadows. Ripe one moment, hollow the next. I am no longer sure I even see the future. What little I remember is tangled, like fate's skeins matted together. It is no longer prophecy, at least not as I understand it.
If any of this surprised Varial, he didn't let it show.
You told me months ago why you wished to travel here, brother. You told me you dreamed of human life on Sagwalsa's face once more, and that you wished to see it with your own eyes.
Talos moved aside as two members of Third Claw dragged a slain brother onto a table.
Soul Hunter,
one of them greeted him. Talos gave him a withering look and led Varial away from them both.
I recall no such dream, he told the apothecary.
It was months ago. You have been slipping for a long time, but the rate of degeneration is accelerating. Focus on this fact, Talos. You wanted to sail back into these skies. Now we are here. Now those same humans you dreamed of crawl into the earth, weak and weaponless, wailing that we have returned. And even as you fulfill your desire, you are still hollow, still void of memory. You are breaking apart, Talos. Fracturing, if you will. Why are we here, brother? Focus. Think. Tell me why.
I do not remember.
Varial's reply was to strike him. The blow came from nowhere, the back of the apothecary's gauntlet smashing backhanded into the side of Talos's face.
I did not ask you to remember. I asked you to use your god's damned mind, Talos. Think! If you cannot recall, then work out the answer from what you know of yourself. You brought us here. Why? What benefit is there? How does it serve us?
The prophet spat acidic saliva onto the floor. When he turned back to Varial, a viperous smile played across his pale, bloody lips. He didn't strike back. He did nothing but smile with bleeding gums.
Thank you, he said as the moment passed. Your point is taken.
Varial nodded.
I had hoped it would be.
He met the prophet's dark eyes.
I apologize for striking you.
I deserved it.
You did. However, I still apologize.
I said it is fine, brother. No apology is necessary.
Varial nodded again.
If that is the case, would you ask the others to cease aiming their weapons at me?
Talos looked around the chamber. Both members of Third Claw had their bolters raised. First Claw was a mirror of the image, their own guns lifted and aimed. Even several Night Lords on tables awaiting surgery were holding their pistols level and ready to fire.
Ivalash Tisha, said Talos. Peace.
The warriors lowered their weapons at once, in slow unison. Varial gestured to one of the side chambers.
Come, there are tests on your blood that I must...
The tests can wait, Varial.
Varial's cold eyes flickered with something, some unknowable emotion never given the grace to flash in full across his features.
I believe you are dying,
he lowered his voice.
I have saved you before. Let me analyze you now, and we will see if I can save you a second time.
A trifle melodramatic,
Talos replied, though his blood ran cold, feeling like a flush of nerve-killing combat narcotics.
Your body is rejecting the modifications wrought by the gene seed. As you age, as you take wound after wound, your regenerative processes are breaking down. You can no longer heal the damage Kurz's blood is doing to your body. Some humans are simply unsuitable for gene seed implantation. You are one of them.
Talos said nothing for a moment. Reuven's dream words replayed through his mind, in savage chorus with Varial's. The Prophet's marble visage turned to the rest of the chamber.
This is conjecture, he said.
It is, Varial admitted. I have had little experience in dealing with the physiology of first-generation Legiones Astartes, but I was able to sustain my Lord Blackheart's life for centuries through a mix of ingenuity, ancient science, and working with fools who practiced powerful blood magic. I know my art, Talos. You are dying. Your body no longer functions as it should.
Talos followed him as he spoke. In the side chamber, the apothecary gestured to an excruciation table replete with chains. The room's ceiling was given over to a multi-limbed arachnid machine, with various scanners, cutters, and probes at the end of each jointed iron limb.
There is no need to lie down at first. The more detailed tests will come after these preliminaries. But I wish only to draw blood from the veins in your throat for now. Then we will scan your skull. Only then will we proceed deeper.
Talos acquiesced in silence. Another one died beneath Septimus's hands. He swore in Nostraman. The surgeon he was working with wiped bloody hands across his own face, as if it would clean away the stains already there, rather than add to them.
Next,
the man said to the closest servitors. They dragged a writhing woman in a filthy crew uniform onto the table. She'd lost a leg to a bolter round, but the tourniquet at her thigh had spared her a cold, shivering death from blood loss. Septimus winced at the biological ruin left of her leg below the knee. Her eyes were wide, the pupils narrow. She hissed air in and out through clenched teeth.
"Who are you?" he asked gently. In the same moment, the Medicae said, "Name and role."
"Marlona," she said to Septimus. "Starboard tertiary munitions deck. I'm a loader." She squeezed her eyes closed for a moment. "Don't servitor me, please."
"He won't," Septimus told her.
"Thank you. Are you Septimus?"
He nodded.
"Heard about you,"
she said, and lapsed back onto the table, covering her eyes against the bright glare of the lights above. The Medicae wiped his face again, clearly weighing the effort and value of the diminishing cheap augmetic supplies he had at his disposal. Only officers could count on their chances of a bionic organ or limb, but she was hardly underdeck scum.
"She can't do her duty with one leg," Septimus said, sensing this game was already lost. "Another could perform a loader's duties just as easily," the Medicae replied. "Menials are hardly difficult to replace."
"Primaris,"
Marlona said. The words hissed through the pain. Sweat bathed her in feverish droplets.
"Primaris qualified, not just a hauler. Cart driver too, cannon loader."
The surgeon tightened the tourniquet, eliciting a fresh grunt.
"If I find out you're lying to me," he told her, "I will inform the Legion."
"Not lying. Primaris qualified, I swear."
Her voice was growing weaker now, and her eyes unfocused.
"Record her for Omega grade augmentation after the crisis is over,"
the Medicae said to his attendant servitor.
"Stabilize her and pitch the stump until then."
Marlona was unconscious now. Septimus suspected that applying hot pitch to her raw stump to prevent any future bleeding would rouse her, though. He released a pent-up breath, cursing the Genesis chapter for their fanatical assault. thrown in flames they'd given the ship a beating. The medike moved away, seeking another patient on another table, in this endless supply of them. As Septimus followed, his glance fell on Octavia across the room. She stood at the heart of carnage's aftermath, her pale skin ungraced by the blood marking the dead and dying around her. He watched her retying her ponytail, seeing the hesitance in her fingers as she walked from table to table, careful not to touch anyone. She only paused by the unconscious ones, resting her fingers on their skin, saying a few words of comfort or checking their pulses. In the middle of this stinking den of dying heretics, Septimus smiled. Varial tapped the display monitor overlaying the hololithic charts.
Do you see the correlation?
Talos stared at the distorted hololithic of conflicting charts and hundreds of rows of runic symbols signifying numbers. He had to shake his head.
No, I do not.
It is difficult to believe you were once an apothecary, Varial told him, in a rare moment of pique.
Talos gestured to the overlaid readings.
I can see the flaws and failings in the body's genetics. I can see the impairment in the unwarranted spikes in cortical activity.
How easy it was to speak of his own degeneration so impartially. The idea almost made him bare his teeth in a smile that would have done Uzas proud.
I am not saying I cannot understand what I am seeing, Varial. I am saying I do not see what you find so unique in it.
Varial hesitated, trying a new tack.
Do you at least recognize the spikes in limbic activity and see the other signs listed as potentially terminal?
I recognize the possibility,
Talos allowed.
It is hardly conclusive. This suggests I will be in pain for the rest of my life. Not that my life will be cut short.
Varial's exhalation trod perilously close to a sigh.
That will do. But look here.
Talos watched the looping results flicker and restart again and again. The rune numbers cycled. The charts flowed in some hololithic dance, devoid of all rhythm.
I see it, he said at last. My progenoid glands are... I do not know how to describe it. They are too active. It seems they are still absorbing and processing genetic markers.
He touched the side of his neck, recalling the removal of Zal's gene seed only hours before. Varial nodded, allowing himself the smallest of smiles.
Mature progenoids will always react with a subsistent level of activity, a base level of processing genetic matter, collating a biological record of the experiences and traumas of the warrior they serve.
I know how progenoids function, brother.
Varial raised a hand to placate the prophet.
That is my point. Yours have always been overactive, as we already knew. Much too efficient. They rendered your physiology unstable, and were perhaps the cause of your prophetic vision. Now, however, they are in rebellion. Previously, they were still trying to improve you, from human to one of the Legiones Astartes. But that development was a dead end. You could improve no more. You were already one of us. Their over-efficiency has now passed a critical juncture. In many cases, the implanted organs would wither and die within the body. Yours are too strong. They are affecting the host rather than withering themselves.
As I said, pain while I still draw breath. But it is not terminal.
Varial conceded the point with a flash of thought in his pale eyes.
Perhaps. Either way, removal of the progenoids is no longer an option. It would make no difference, for your organs are already...
Talos interrupted with an irritated wave of his hand, as if giving the order to fire.
Enough! I can read the accursed hololithic. Come, Varial. Deal with the wounded and let us retake Sagwalsa.
The flayer exhaled slowly. The dim illumination of the side chamber painted the skinned faces across his pauldrons in a greasy, pallid light.
What is it? Asked Talos.
Were you to die, and a suitable host be found for your gene seed organs, there is a chance the new host would carry the same curse as you. But with the ability to control it, your gene seed is uncorrupted, but unsuited to you. In a better host, with true symbiosis, they would be...
Be what?
His dark eyes flickered with thought now, possibilities playing out in their depths. Varial was staring at the charts.
Powerful. Imagine your prophetic gift without the false visions that increase as time passes, or the headaches that drive you to your knees, or the unconsciousness that lasts weeks or months. Imagine it without the broken memory or the other debilitating symptoms that plague you. When you die, brother, you will leave a powerful legacy for the future.
The future, Talos said, his black eyes unfocusing. He almost smiled.
Of course.
Varial turned back from the hololithic. What is it?
That is why we are here.
Talos tongued his split lip, tasting his own blood, a lesser reflection of Uzas and the dead Primarch.
I know what I want from this world.
I am pleased to hear it. I had hoped this discussion would have that effect on you. Am I to assume you have changed your perspective, or are you still content to allow the Legion to slip its leash and slaughter everyone on the world below?
No. The pure war is not enough. This is Sagwalsa, Varial. The Carrion world, now with life tenaciously clinging to its scabbed surface. We can claw more than some tawdry, bloodthirsty satisfaction from this.
The apothecary disengaged the hand scanner, letting it power down. Then what? Tell us. The prophet stared past Varial, stared past the chamber's walls, looking at something only he could see.
We can reforge the Legion. We can lay down an example for our brothers to follow. We can cast aside the hatred between war bands with these painful first steps. Do you see, Varial?
He turned at last, his black eyes shining.
We can make it glorious this time. We can begin again.
The apothecary wheeled several of his full-body scanners into place. Buttons and dials on his Narthesium gauntlet activated the jointed arms, reaching down from the ceiling. Chemicals sloshed in glass vials.
Lie down, he said.
Talos complied, still staring with unfocused eyes.
Will I lose consciousness?
Without a doubt, Varial replied.
Tell me, is Sagwalsa the right place to begin such a reforging?
I believe so. As an example, as a symbol. Have any of the others told you what happened when we left this world?
I have heard of the Sagwalsan retaliation, yes.
Talos was seeing past him again, staring now into memory rather than the paths of possibility.
That makes it seem so placid.
No, Varial, it was much worse than that. With the Primarch gone, we'd been decaying for years, scattering to the stars, guarding our own supplies from the claws of our brothers as much as from the praying hands of our enemies. But at the end of it all, when the gray sky caught fire with the contrails of 10,000 drop pods, that was the day a Legion died.
Varial felt his skin crawling. He loathed being near any expression of emotion, even the bitterness of old memory. But curiosity forced his tongue.
Who came for you? He asked. What size was the force to dare attack an entire Legion?
It was the Ultramarines.
Talos lowered his head, surrendering to the memory now.
1,000 warriors? The apothecary's eyes widened. That's all?
You think in such small terms, Talos chuckled. The Ultramarines, their sons, their brothers, their cousins, the entire Legion, reborn after the heresy, wearing hundreds of icons proclaiming their new allegiances. They called themselves the Primogenitors. I believe their descendants still do.
You mean the Ultramarines' kindred chapters?
Variel could almost picture it now.
How many of them?
All of them, Variel, Talos said softly,
seeing the sky once again on that distant day.
All of them.